Welcome in to the Blanket Coverage Podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 28th. Tomorrow is the big day. Draft day, baby. I can't wait. We got a big mock draft coming your way off the top here. Jack, how we feeling one day out from the draft? I know your team has a lot more implications in this draft process than mine does, certainly.
I am quite excited, a little nervous, but I almost feel less nervous than usual. And the reason why I say that is because as we went through in all of our delightful NFL exit interview series, which is all up and ready for anyone to watch before the draft, after the draft, again, the good chunk of that is pre-draft, but still all of that remains relevant throughout the entire offseason if anyone wants to check that out to see how their new team may or may not be doing this upcoming season. And of course, how they did last season, go ahead and check those out. But at least when I talk about my Atlanta Falcons, one of our top teams here in terms of the draft, it's pretty complicated. I think that there are a very, very large amount of moves this team can make, that all of which seem like they could be pretty good. I really don't see that many ways this could go really poorly, which I'm knocking on wood hard because there's always a way. So I am not going to go ahead too far on that because I'm not that crazy, but it is very entertaining to see all this come to fruition and all these teams select players that could either be their next franchise player that could completely change and turn around what the next, decade plus could be like, or players that may never even see the field because we've seen everything in between. So it's going to be quite exciting. I know at least the last draft in the 2020 draft, we saw a lot of pretty solid players here. Just to mention a couple that ended up being some steals, and you're looking at some picks. I remember I liked a lot of the picks in this draft, but the big ones here ended up being good. We all thought Joe Burrow was going to be pretty good. He was pretty good. We thought Chase Young would be pretty good. He was pretty good. So some of the top picks there ended up being great. But then you had guys like Jeff Okuda that ended up getting really hurt, Andrew Thomas, who unfortunately didn't really do a lot. And then even Tua at that number five pick and being not as great as we would have thought.
Justin Herbert.
Right at the six. Yep. And then Derek Brown
ended up being the guy. And then down in the 20s, you got Justin Jefferson going to the Vikings. That was a big
after Jalen Reagor.
One pick after Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, that didn't age excellently, just like Jeff Gladney down at 31, which we forget he still was a first-round pick, so oof on that. Other guys up there that ended up not really being as big as I would have thought, Derek Brown, the D-tackle out of Carolina, I thought he was going to be a huge player in his rookie year, and he really wasn't as big, as well as Isaiah Simmons. There's a lot of hype on Isaiah Simmons coming out for the Cardinals. And again, wasn't bad. These players were not bad, but I thought they were going to be in contention for defensive rookie of the year, and they really weren't quite. But then you got some really solid guys in here that ended up being big. Like I know Tristan Wirfs was excellent for the Buccaneers at the number 13 overall pick. He had a fantastic season. You had guys a little later in here. I'm trying to find out Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the first round, 32nd overall pick. The running back for the Chiefs did a great job. And then one more note before we can move on. I know you have some thoughts on this too, but Isaiah Wilson for the Tennessee Titans out of Georgia wasn't particularly great. Yeah, the Isaiah Wilson era in Tennessee didn't go too great after only one season.
No, Isaiah Wilson was an abject disaster for the Titans. I think we could make the case that he was the biggest bust of all time. There's certainly a case for it. Now, Ryan Leaf was bad, but how many snaps did Ryan Leaf get to play?
What's the Jamarcus count? Russell was pretty bad too, but he also Marcus inherited Russell. A god awful Raiders team, to be fair. So it's
right in the middle of the Al Davis era. At the end of the Al Davis era. Isaiah Wilson played like four snaps for the Titans, I think it was. And I'm pretty sure all of them were extra points. Yeah, it was an abject disaster. It's an embarrassment for the franchise. And honestly, it cost a really, really valuable roster spot. And you look at some other guys in the second round, at the top of the second round, that we could have taken. I think it's a pretty embarrassing and indefensible pick. But the defense of it was that John Robinson never really got to meet these prospects in person. He never got to meet Isaiah Wilson, get his hands on him, find out what he's really like in person for the draft. I still think it's an abject disaster, given that other teams were able to hit perfectly fine on their draft picks last year, and their draft picks didn't completely go off the rails as soon as they got that first paycheck. But yeah, just again, an abject disaster for the Titans.
And if I can bring up two more positive notes before we move on to our draft picks, a couple of big TCU names that actually were some positive guys that were the last two TCU picks taken were Lucas Niang, offensive tackle to the Chiefs, and then Vernon Scott, free safety for the Packers. Now, Lucas Niang was a player that actually opted out due to COVID-19. He didn't play at all last year, but is expected to be a bigger guy for the Chiefs in this upcoming season with their new rebuilt offensive line. So really great for him to get a great opportunity there with Kansas City. And then Vernon Scott, a player that was actually selected in the seventh round, yet got 13 tackles and a sack on Matthew Stafford. So was able to play a little bit, which being a seventh round player and saying that you got 13 tackles and a sack in a season, that's pretty impressive coming out of the seventh round. You know, seventh round players a lot of the time never even see the field.
Yeah, so for him to not only make the roster.
Oh yeah, for him to make the roster and see the field and get a highlight play, that's a pretty big deal. So shout out there to Vernon Scott for being able to make a big play there, and hopefully can be someone that can make a pretty solid play there for Green Bay. I was at the Oklahoma game where he had the 98-yard pick six, and so being able to see that in person was really cool. And I got some cool pictures of it because I went to go shoot that game for TC360. So being able to see him now with Green Bay is really, really cool. So big shout out to him. But now on to the 2021 NFL draft. As you were saying, Noah, it is in just one day. It is very, very exciting. Note that all these picks, of course, we are not paid professionals. I guess we kind of are in a way, but on a very light note, but we are still people that do think that we are pretty intelligent with the NFL, but we also are not any kind of geniuses. So a lot of these picks can be very wrong, but to be fair, we had a lot of picks right last year.
I was about to say, we got a lot of picks right last year. We did. We got a lot of positions right, especially wasn't the exact guy, you know, teams look, Daniel Jeremiah's big board is, as much as I love seeing how Daniel Jeremiah evaluates prospects, like Daniel Jeremiah's big board is not the NFL big board. Like, he's a very good prospect evaluator. He's very good at what he does. He is someone who I would consider an expert, but it's not an NFL team's big board. An NFL team might have one guy ranked ahead of another guy at a certain position, and that might be the position of importance for the first round. So I think we should do a 2-point system for this, one for the player and one for the position. You get the position right, or maybe a 1/2-point thing, but I think it just makes it easier to go 1 and 1.
Yeah, and I get that some of these guys are going to be more obvious than others. For example, the first two picks locked. So
outside the top 10, that bumps up to 2 for the player, 1 for the position.
I think that's good, but go ahead and write this down. Make sure we have it down.
Yeah. So we got to have the rules. We're going to evaluate ourselves afterwards. Don't worry. We will have a post view of this because
we'll get tweets about it. We'll get tweets about it.
Yeah. We'll get tweets about it. It's going to happen, folks. Either way, the point off the top is we are trying to be right. We are actively trying to be right, and we know we're going to be wrong. But we are trying to be right. We're trying to do as well as possible. We're not necessarily saying what we think teams should do. We're saying what we think will happen. Now, caveat with this, I know for a fact there are going to be trades, and it's probably not the one trade that we were allowing each other. But there are going to be trades into the top 10. This quarterback class is too stacked. Now, I think we could still see matching players and teams as far as quarterbacks go, but just without the trades and without the trades up, because a team like Washington or a team like Chicago is going to have to trade into the top 10 if they want to select a quarterback, which I think one of those teams will end up biting, and it's going to be the Bears, and he's going to end up stinking out loud. But either way, let's get into it. With the first pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select
Trevor Lawrence. And this is not really a debate. And yes, I did pause because I wanted to hear the little like little sound, you know, when they select the player. So I always love that.
That's copyrighted. Can we use that?
It probably is, but we can say it. We can do our little sing version of it, but yeah. I don't know if we can play it. But yeah, this pick seems like one of the most obvious picks, if not probably the most obvious pick of the entire draft. Normally, the number one overall pick is up for some debate. Like last season, it was not up for debate. Everyone knew it was going to be Joe Burrow, and it was. This season, everybody knows it's going to be Trevor Lawrence, and it pretty much is going to be. Seems to be the number one overall quarterback in this draft by not really much of a debate. I do think that there is some like interesting question of sort of how he can do versus other quarterbacks. I'm not 1 billion percent into saying that he's like the best prospect we've ever seen since like Peyton Manning or whatever, which I could be wrong on that, but I don't know. I'm after watching him and after watching a lot of the ACC, I think part of it does have to be chalked up to the fact that you're Clemson and you're playing pretty bad teams and you have this great system and a great and an all-time coach. Not taking anything away from him because we saw that with Deshaun Watson had all those things and he's tearing it up in the NFL. So clearly players can come out of all of this and still be just as elite and great. I'm just saying that it's like the Mac Jones argument, but way, way, way more watered down, where you still have an incredible system, incredible teammates, incredible coaching, and that's still there. But either way, it's very obvious that he's going to be staying in the South. This will make the Jags a good chunk better. I do think the Jaguars have enough pieces to make them a not a god-awful team next year, but that's not the point to win next year. Their point is to improve and develop Trevor next year and develop the rest of their team, like Robinson at the running back position. It's the development year. The Jaguars are not going to be a winning team next season, but they don't need to be. And I think Trevor's the first step on them transitioning from a, as you use the 2K thing again, we're rebuilding to more of a buying team to see if they can be contending in the next 4 to 5 years. Cause they almost made the Super Bowl a few years back. They're still not that far away from that.
Well, I hesitate to trust any Jags franchise, any Jags team in general. You never know how it's going to pan out, especially with, I don't know why we're so sold that Urban Meyer will be a successful NFL head coach. He's never done it before. We've never seen it. Now, maybe he's like Jim Harbaugh and he's able to come in and deliver a team to a Super Bowl with some good front office help within a couple of years. But I'm not entirely sold that that's going to be Urban Meyer. And I'm not entirely sold that Urban Meyer is the right guy. Now, will that affect Trevor Lawrence? Absolutely. I think Trevor Lawrence is worthy of being the number one pick. I think he absolutely deserves to be the number one pick. I'm not super sold on his career as a Jacksonville Jaguar yet. That being said, the Jacksonville Jaguars might walk in this pick before Roger Goodell even steps to the podium. So, yeah, let's agree there. Trevor Lawrence at one, that's been a lock for a while. Another lock, I think, at number two is Zach Wilson to the Jets. Let's briefly talk about this. Zach Wilson might be the second overall quarterback in this draft. I don't know why there's not more pushback against Zach Wilson being the pick here. But I guess it's because of all the Aaron Rodgers comparisons. We know scouts and evaluators love this kid and his arm and his raw talent. He probably has the best elite arm strength in the draft. And I mean, this can be Robert Saleh's franchise quarterback as he tries to build up his defense across the way. However, Zach Wilson, much like Trevor Lawrence, is stepping into a whole lot of nothing this year.
And I think that's going to be something that's going to really struggle with him. And I know that he's used to playing with against not entirely the best opponents. I get the BYU is weird because they're an independent school, but it's also been a very solid team this season. Either way, it's you're going into a disaster. And I know that the Jags are a team that's worse here. They won one game last year, but I still like the Jags rebuild better than I like the Jets. And I get the Jets got a reset. They finally, God, got rid of Gase. So thank goodness for that. But it's still a train wreck. And I think that if you just insert a quarterback in and say, go, it's really difficult to do that. And we will see that proven this year with what's going to happen with Sam Darnold, because he goes into a Panthers team that's way better, way more structurally sound. Again, it's not a great team, but it's a much better team. And if Darnold can actually perform really well there, then we know that it was definitely the Jets' fault and not really Darnold's fault. Now, of course, he couldn't. We don't know that yet, but I like the pick here. I think they should take Zach Wilson. This is who I would take if I was the Jets GM. But I think it's difficult here, because at the end of the day, he has no help, and it's going to be really hard to get him going when there's nothing around him to succeed. So I really hope the Jets are able to use their other picks here in the draft to be able to supplement Wilson's game more, because they're going to have to build their franchise around him now.
All right. So let's caveat the number three pick with, I haven't read any rumors today. And I kind of did that on purpose because it's the day before the draft, and it's smokescreen season. This pick is going to be Mac Jones, I believe. I believe that with the third pick in the 2021 NFL draft, 49ers select Mac Jones, quarterback from Alabama. One of the highest completion percentages in a college season that we've ever had. One of the best offenses that we've ever seen in a college football season. Alabama was the most dominant team in college football last year. It wasn't even close. They blew the doors off Ohio State in the national championship. They boat raced pretty much every team in the SEC. And I don't know what bad things you could say about Mac Jones other than that he's not that athletic. Well, there's a lot of quarterbacks who are not necessarily that athletic, but he's a good quarterback. And I don't think Mac Jones should be shaded in the argument that this pick should be Justin Fields, because I think it should be. But again, we're trying to be right. And this has been the pick since day one. The 49ers love Mac Jones and Trey Lance, but at the end of the day, Kyle Shanahan loves Trey Lance. Kyle Shanahan loves Mac Jones. That's what we've been hearing all week. And I think that's going to be the pick. He can come in and run Kyle Shanahan's offense, be his remote control on the field, and just gun passes all day. He doesn't have to do much.
I mean, if I'm going to be honest with you, this is very confusing, because to me, I cannot understand why a team would trade up that high and give that much away to go for Mac Jones, because I don't think that he would be gone anywhere near these picks if they really needed to do it. But I mean, they did it anyway. San Francisco says, we're going to go up to 3. Which is obviously a massive jump. And now that they're there, they're sort of like, okay, now what do we do? And it's just sort of bizarre to me, because now I sit there and look at it and I'm like, okay. And yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be Mac Jones. I think everyone's been telling us it's Mac Jones. The 49ers have been screaming it's Mac Jones. If I was the GM, I would not do this at all. And again, it's not anything anti-Mac Jones. I just think their other quarterbacks better. I think Fields is better. I think Trey Lance can show you can be better. I think that there's just a lot of debate here. And I think it's very bizarre for a team to trade up that high and give up that much to do it. And yeah, if I'm Philadelphia, Miami, and I'd be just saying, okay, sure. And trading down and getting whatever you want for it. I think that they're incredibly smart for moving around for that. So yeah, I think it's kind of weird. I, again, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, good for Mac Jones for getting on a team. But yeah. And this is also a 49ers team. It's a very, very strong team anyway. They're way better than their pick here at 4.
And if you want to hear us elaborate more a little bit on our thoughts on this pick, go check out the last exit interview where the final team that we talked about, the most recent team that we talked about, was the 49ers with their quarterback conundrum and sort of what their options are there. We're hearing also that they could move Jimmy G on draft night. That has been circulating the rumor board. That
interesting.
That is a big one that could happen. Is Jimmy G on draft night could be on the move. I think they want to move him before they get Mac Jones in the building. And Jimmy G being on the move tells me that it's not Trey Lance, because I think they want I think they would want Jimmy G in the building for year one of Trey Lance. But let's move on. And with the fourth pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Falcons select
I'm going to change my mind because I've changed my mind multiple times about this team, but I'm going to change my mind again because I forgot a crucial detail that's hidden here that I have forgotten. Matt Ryan got his contract restructured. And with Matt Ryan getting the contract restructured, I think a lot of this is smoke and mirrors. We know right now, I may make the argument that the Falcons might be the hardest team to predict in this draft who they may take or what they're going to do. I think the Falcons could be the hardest pick because they could trade it to a multitude of teams. They could pick, I could count at least four or five players they could take at the number four spot that I would consider to be a good pick at number four.
They could trade Julio Jones on a dime at any moment to any team if they just like the player in the spot. Which I would hate, but
yes.
Say Mac Jones is there at number 10.
And
hey, Cowboys, you want Julio Jones? Jerry Jones is eating that up in a heartbeat.
And that's the sort of funny part about this is that it's just really, really hard to choose here. I really don't know what to do. So if I'm Atlanta, I say bite the bullet and go for Kyle Pitts. And the reason why I'm going for that is because the Falcons are in a position where they're one of the very, very few teams that has a lot of really, really good pieces, but enough to make a push for it. And if you can get a guy like this, this is a generational talent and a tight end can play wide receiver, is a big, big guy. And if you can have him here, it almost doesn't matter if you lose Julio, a player that's on a colossal contract and is very much older and is injured a lot, a player who I love deeply. But if we're talking about being practical, it probably isn't that practical to keep him longer. And which one are you going to keep, Matt Ryan right now or Julio right now? And it makes a little more sense to keep Matt Ryan right now because you have a player that's, and I know people would scream at me for that, but it's just being honest that, again, there are so many options here. A comical amount of options, but I still think that the way these teams are moving, it could be a whole lot of different teams. And I think Kyle Pitts is still one of the best options here.
Yeah, I'm going with Kyle Pitts as well. Everything I'm reading is telling me that Kyle Pitts is going to be the pick here. I don't think they're going to go quarterback. I think that was an option. But as far as Arthur Smith is concerned, I think Arthur Smith wants to see what he's got in Matt Ryan, try to get a couple more years out of him and try to stack up the team around him to be successful right now. And I think taking Kyle Pitts is the best way to do that because he's so versatile. We're hearing that they could move Julio Jones, that could give them another pick in the first round. And I think it makes a lot of sense if they bring in Kyle Pitts to try to get back into the first round, maybe through Julio Jones or something like of that nature. But let's move on to the fifth overall pick where the Cincinnati Bengals will select.
I'm going to go with the Bengals are dumb and they're going to pick Ja'Marr Chase. And again, this is nothing against Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's the best wide receiver in the class. And yes, the Bengals need a wide receiver, but what do they need desperately more than that? An offensive line. But I think the Bengals are going to be dumb and not pick him. I think that they're going to go for the easy bait here. They're going to see Chase and run with it. And I really hope they don't do that, but that's kind of my bold prediction here is I think that they may go ahead and pick the big wide receiver when everyone is yelling for the tackle. I think they may say, ooh, but that's fun and flashy and new because we got the fun, flashy new quarterback. We got the fun, flashy new jerseys. Let's go out and have some fun. And I think they're just going to go for the more fun pick than going for the probably safer pick.
You know, I thought about this when I was making my mock. The first thing I thought was, are the Bengals actually going to do something that they should do? And I think in this case, they will because of the 8-inch scar that's on Joe Burrow's knee very clearly in that photo. In that photo that, of course, became viral when they released their new uniforms. You can clearly see a giant 8-inch scar on his knee. I think that is all the motivation you need to protect your quarterback and get the offensive tackle here. Just get Penei Sewell. Just get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off. And like last year, you can probably get a fine receiver at the top of the second round. Maybe he's not Ja'Marr Chase. But receivers in the second round have around the same stats as receivers in the first round historic over the last, like, I think 6 years or something like that. The statistics are pretty similar as far as receivers taken in the second round versus receivers taken in the first round. And if I'm mistaken on that, please correct me. But I'm going to go Penei Sewell here, lock it in. And with the sixth pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins will select.
I'm going to go with Penei Sewell here because I think that he'll be the best player left on this line. They're going to need someone else to help out this offensive line, and I can't really see him dropping beforehand. And I'm figuring that we're going to have switching picks here because I feel like these guys are just too talented to fall out of this top six.
Right. I don't know if Penei Sewell is the pick here, but protecting Tua, who is, I mean, a little over a year removed from like a devastating hip surgery. That might be an option. I think if Kyle Pitts is here, he is definitely 100% the pick without a doubt. But in this case, on my board is Ja'Marr Chase, and we are just flip-flopping picks, and I've got the Dolphins taking Ja'Marr Chase, giving Tua a real weapon on the outside to go across from Devontae Parker. And look, here's the thing. If you want to evaluate a young quarterback, you have to surround him with talent to find out what you really have. That's what the 49ers did with Jimmy G. That's what the Titans did with Marcus Mariota. That's what the Buccaneers did winning a title the year after they let go of Jameis Winston. If you want to see what you have in a young quarterback, you have to stack up the talent around him. And I think the Dolphins will try to do that by taking Ja'Marr Chase at number six. And at number seven, we're actually in agreement on our trade here. We know that the Lions want to move back. They like a lot of the beefier guys that are going to be available around that 10th pick range, give or take a couple picks, give or take a few picks. So we both have the Denver Broncos trading up to the 7th pick with the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions move back to 9, and the Denver Broncos select Justin Fields.
I stuck with this one because we know pretty much there's no way the top three picks are going to trade down. I can't possibly see that happening. The Falcons very easily could at 4. I'm just saying they won't. And I really don't think the Bengals or Dolphins will. So since there's got to be some top 10 trade, I think the most likely one after Atlanta could probably be the Lions because we know that they've expressed interest trading down. We know that even the Panthers have expressed interest in trading down, but I don't think that the Broncos would go up only one slot. I think they'd try to go up a couple because not saying Justin Fields would go to Carolina, I don't think that's very likely, but I do think it's possible theoretically the Broncos would want to get up a little higher.
Well, I have a point on that. One, Carolina is willing to trade down. So if Justin Fields is there, there's a very high chance that someone could try to trade into that 8th slot and try to get him. Also, I know that Carolina has been trying to put out smoke screens through the rumor mill for weeks now that they do like the quarterback class and that this they could take a quarterback to bring in some competition with Sam Darnold. I've been seeing it in a lot of mocks. So that tells me that they're trying to get anyone to trade up ahead of them so that they can select one of the guys that it's probably pretty high on the Lions big board. And in this case, that would be Rashawn Slater at the 8th overall pick. For me, at least, I have Rashawn Slater going to Carolina. I think they want to protect Sam Darnold. They're probably going to pick up his fifth-year option, I would think, if you trade a second-round pick for him. Get at least 2 years of him. Why not? Now, I could see them bringing in quarterback competition, but I just don't think it's likely. I think they have too many other areas to address, and I think they take a similar approach they did last year, that they need to stack up the line of scrimmage. Matt Rule knows how to build a football team, and I think that's where they go here.
And for me, I'm going to go with right here at number 8. I'm going to go with Micah Parsons a little bit earlier because I think that they need to get have a guy to replace the Luke Kuechly hole that's going to be at that linebacker position, and I think Parsons is the perfect guy to slot right in there. So I really like what he showed at Penn State. I know he didn't really do a lot this season, but I think he could be a huge playmaker for a team that needs a stronger defense, especially against – I mean, think about how good the offenses are that Carolina's going to play this season. You have the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers. You have – I know Drew Brees just left, but you still have Michael Thomas and an incredibly elite Saints offense. And you have the Falcons offense that could have potentially Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, Kyle Pitts. You're going to need to have a strong defense to play against this division. So I think that they go defense here.
And I actually initially, before I shuffled some things around, I actually had J.C. Horn going here. So I'm on the same page. Yeah, they need some defensive help in this
later division. They're going to get some.
But really, they need help all over the field. They need to get the best overall player. I love the philosophy of take the best overall player and figure it out later, because that's just more ammo in the chamber. If you think a guy is going to be a stud, you should take him and figure it out later, because there's always some ways to rework the roster and rework the salary cap situation. And with the 9th overall pick, now we have Detroit picking here. I have Micah Parsons going to Detroit. I think we know the new coach, Dan Campbell, wants kneecap biters, guys that'll take chunks out of you on the way up. And I think Micah Parsons makes a ton of sense here. Even though his draft stock has been dropping a little bit, it certainly seems like a Detroit Lions move to take a chance on a very accomplished college football player whose draft stock has been dropping a little bit, but is a freak athlete on the field.
Well, I'm actually going to go with J.C. Horn here. I know you just mentioned him, a cornerback out of South Carolina. I think that he could be a great fit in with this Denver team to help boost that defense some. Or sorry, Detroit team. Sorry, my bad. And a Detroit passing defense that was absolutely horrific last season, helping in to get a stud guy in here. I mean, kind of the same philosophy, I guess, the Falcons had a year ago, getting another solid quarterback.
Same philosophy the Lions had a year ago when they took Jeff Okuda.
Yeah, which I think him and Horn back-to-back now, healthy Okuda ready to go, could be really solid.
That's two really strong man-to-man corners that I think you can pair well across from each other. That's a long athletic, rangy secondary. And when you got to play Aaron Rodgers twice a year, I mean, you need those guys.
And I think that's what the Falcons do, actually. If the Falcons do end up trading back, especially if they trade back to this number 9 pick, I do think they're going to end up taking a cornerback. So, I mean, there's my little prediction. And if the Falcons do end up trading, I would predict they take someone on defense, like a cornerback, because our defense is so, so, so bad and it needs help desperately. So I think that could be a good spot for them.
Absolutely.
Up next to it, we have the number 10 pick, the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? And we are in agreement for this pick. We don't have a lot of picks the same just because there's so many talented players here. But this one is, we both are looking at Patrick Surtain, the second cornerback out of Alabama, and an incredible athlete here.
Yeah, Patrick Surtain is 6'2", 202. He's very stingy, has great ball skills. He was an All-American at Alabama. He was the best cornerback on that team for 2 years. At really one of the best cornerback schools in the country, in one of the best secondaries in the country. I have no doubts about Patrick Surtain, and he's been mocked to the Cowboys a lot. I don't think Jerry Jones is going to pass up on him if he's there, but he could be gone. I mean, we never know how much some of these teams may like some of these top 10 corners. I mean, he is a talented prospect. 10, I think, is his floor. Absolutely, unless, I mean, a Kyle Pitts or something ridiculous like that slides to 10. But I think Jerry Jones goes with the logical pick here. Look, this Cowboys secondary was terrible last year. They were awful. Why do you think Dak Prescott was putting up MVP video game numbers and they started off 2-3? Because the defense was terrible. They couldn't stop anyone. They were almost as bad, if not as bad, as the Tennessee Titans defense last year. And obviously the offense with Andy Dalton couldn't support that. So I think you got to go defense here. I think you got to go secondary. And I think the pick is Patrick Surtain.
So next up, we have the New York Giants in our second of three straight NFC East teams here. And I'm going to go with Devonta Smith. I think this team could really use a solid wide receiver here. We know the Daniel Jones struggle with having a lot of weapons on this team, and having a big one in Smith, your Heisman winner, would be big here. Now, I know that I agree with you as well in basically nearly every other mock that I've seen, that Devonta Smith, despite being the Heisman winner, will not be the first wide receiver off the board. Both of us, as well as nearly being pretty much every single mock draft you can see, still has Jamar Chase over Smith, which I still think is fair to do. But I think the Giants could easily take him here, though. We're starting, and I know we're only at pick 11, but we're starting to get to the point where, even looking through what picks we have, there's a lot of murkiness coming here, because we're starting to get to teams that have a lot more pieces that are either it's either the teams that are bad enough where they need a lot of things to fix, or they're good enough where there's so few things to fix that it's sort of tricky to find one. So this is, we're starting to get there where the Giants could have a lot of different things to be filled. I think wide receiver is a big one.
Yeah, it's about to get weird in our mock draft. And with the 11th pick, I have the New York Giants. Look, Dave Gettleman has said that he wants the big boys. He wants the linemen. Both lines were not great last year. And I think with the amount of investments that they've made into some of the skill positions, I think they go line here. And I think they go Jalen Phillips out of Miami. Now, I'm really just taking a shot in the dark. I actually don't know who the Giants favorite is to be the pick here, but I am going to go with Jalen Phillips, who was a big time recruit coming out of high school to UCLA, had an inconsistent career there, but really pulled it together once he got to Miami. I think he's the pick there. I could also see this being a big reach spot. I mean, there's always a player that gets reached for in the top 15, and I think this could be a huge reach spot for Christian Barmore. Would not shock me.
Yeah, I've liked a lot of what he's done as well. He seems to be a really big impact player. I have him a little bit later in the draft. We'll talk about him more as well.
Well, scouts and many analysts and experts concur that this might be the worst defensive line class in a while. But we get one of our first defensive linemen off the board here with Jalen Phillips. But I think it could easily be Christian Barmore, even though Christian Barmore is not really an upper first round top 15 type of prospect at all.
Yeah, it's an interesting selection. Next up, we have the Philadelphia Eagles, who are here because of San Francisco. They swapped around. I think they were at 6 beforehand. Now they're at 12. And they will be selecting, in my opinion, Greg Newsome III, cornerback out of Northwestern. I think that'd be a solid pick for him here. I think that he could be a great selection for a team that, once again, needs a lot of defense. They're going to need a really solid cornerback. They're going to need a great defense on this side. I know they have Darius Slay on the other side of it, but to have Slay and Newsome, or really any other solid cornerback, not even Newsome, but just any, I think, solid cornerback could be a great little duo right there. Just like we said, the kind of tactic that Detroit's looking to do, or perhaps Atlanta if they trade back.
Well, I'm currently looking at the Eagles wide receiver depth chart, which has been pretty bad for a couple of years. We know that the general manager, or maybe not the general manager, but the owner, Jeff Lurie, wants to see what they have in Jalen Hurts after taking him with a second rounder last year. So, like we said earlier, how do you give a young quarterback a shot? You got to put weapons around him. And right now, their wide receiver depth chart reads Jalen Reagor, Greg Ward, and Travis Fulgham. Not great, Jack.
No, I've got that's them going bad.
I've got them going Devontae Smith here. If you get a Heisman winner at the 12th overall pick, one of the most solid receivers in the draft, there have been questions about his weight. I don't think that'll be a huge concern. I think he can put on at least 10 to 15 pounds in the NFL. And you might not touch him. You might just never touch him. He's that shifty, and he's that elusive when running routes. So I'm going with Devontae Smith here. I think he'd be a great fit with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bama connection still exists.
That is true. And if I still had him available in my draft, I probably would have had him at this pick too. I just had him a little earlier, of course, but I think he would be an excellent fit here as well. Up next for the Los Angeles Chargers at our number 13 spot, our worst team in the AFC West, I had Rashawn Slater here, another Northwestern guy going back to back here, which I think I know I'm not a draft expert, but I don't know when the last time we would have back to back first round picks out of Northwestern. I doubt that may have ever happened, but it could happen this year. This kid right here, Rashawn Slater, is an excellent offensive tackle. The Chargers, as we both know, desperately need an offensive line. I think right here would be a great pick for an offensive lineman. I think we're both thinking that. I think that Slater could be a better guy here. I'm pretty sure you already had him earlier in the draft. But I think that he could be probably one of the best guys. There are some that consider him almost as better than Sewell in this position. He can play nearly any position on the line. I think that's going to be really, really solid here because you got to protect Herbert. And Slater played Chase Young a couple years ago, was fantastic against him, guarded him really, really well, and did a great job against Young specifically. So, and we know what happened with Young in the NFL already. So I'm just saying, I think that Slater could be a real big steal. I think he could be a huge steal in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I had Rashawn Slater going in the top 10, because I think he's that type of player. And that's everything that I've been reading about him tells me that. But I think the Chargers will settle for Christian Darrisaw here. We know how much they've invested in the offseason with Corey Linsley and signing another guard to protect Justin Herbert. I think that's where they end up going here. It's not the ideal situation. I think they'll try to trade down and get a little bit of value and still try to pick Christian Darrisaw or maybe an Alex Leatherwood a little later on if Rashawn Slater is not here, because that's obviously the pick. Here's another, and I won't call this a bold prediction because I don't think it's going to happen, but I would not be shocked if the Chargers traded up into the top 10 for Penei Sewell should he slide past, say, the sixth pick.
I would agree with that only if I didn't think that Slater was as good as he is, because I think that Slater is good enough that you don't even need to trade that up and give up more for it.
But I think Slater will be easily gone by the 13th overall pick.
And that's also fair. That could happen.
I think there's a very, very small chance that he's there at the 13th overall pick. So with the 14th overall pick, the Minnesota Vikings select.
And this is where I'm going to go with Christian Darrisaw, because the Vikings also need a lot of help at that offensive line position. I think they could take him right here. We're getting a lot of our best offensive linemen right out of here. And again, this is also saying if Darrisaw is available. I know that you had him before, so having Darrisaw available at an earlier position, if he's available here for the Vikings, that seems like a very solid pick. He could sit at left tackle basically from day one and start going for a long time. And he would also make the Vikings have four of their five spots in the offensive line set before training camp begins. Great guy here. I think Darrisaw is your pick.
So I think the Vikings could go offensive line here too, but with Darrisaw off the board here, I'm going to go with Azeez Ojulari. Their pass rush has been pretty much diminished over the past couple seasons. Yannick Ngakoue no longer with the team. Danielle Hunter got hurt last year. They can get an outside linebacker here that'll really make an impact on their team, can come in across from Danielle Hunter and have some success. And I think that's where they go here. They got to revamp that defense. That defense was awful last year. And they're pretty solid on offense, despite their line being a little shaky.
Yeah, they're going to have to get somebody on defense in this draft. Up next, we have the New England Patriots. And hey, we have another pick that we may be in agreement on here. This is a team that I think could be in the trading up category if you're talking about where they may be trading. But I may have them sitting absolutely put here, at least in this draft. But yeah, I would be not shocked at all if this team tried to move up. But with that, there's one big name that we haven't mentioned yet at the quarterback position, and this one is Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota State. Now, at North Dakota State, obviously you have worries that you aren't playing a solid competition, as well as the fact that, well, he didn't really play that much at all this last season. So, in fact, really, I don't think any. So that does hurt his draft stock slightly and has him slipping down. Though I think that people like Trey Lance enough that I could see him at a lot of spots in this top 15. I think a lot of teams are very interested with him. I think even the Falcons have an opportunity to take him. I think it's possible, not very likely, but I do think it's possible. So a lot of people like Trey Lance a lot, but I think he might be slipping a little bit here. But if you're New England and you see Trey Lance fall this far, I think I'd be happy to have him if I was the Patriots.
Look, I think there are more teams than we think that would trade up for Trey Lance. But in this scenario, look, if Mac Jones goes number three, that opens up the floodgates for Justin Fields, who a lot of scouts and teams love. And then I think that's going to end up pushing Trey Lance a little bit further down. If some of these teams aren't comfortable trading up for a guy who only started 1 year and only took 300 some odd snaps, as opposed to some of these other guys who have played on the biggest stages and taken a lot more snaps and have a lot more experience. So I think that is the real question with Trey Lance, is his overall experience. And after seeing a guy like Mitch Trubisky and what he's done in the NFL, I'm not saying that they are similar players, not saying that they're going to have similar careers, but the experience factor was a huge negative for him, only having started 1 year at Carolina.
Yeah.
You couple that with the fact that Trey Lance hasn't played football in over a year, and that could be a little interesting there. But yeah, I think having Cam Newton in the building would be important for Trey Lance. I think it's a good situation for him to have a veteran guy like that who's won an MVP, who's played in the Super Bowl. You can sit him behind Cam for a year. If Cam sucks, you can start to put him in right away, much like you did last year with Jarrett Stidham. You saw what you had in Jarrett Stidham, and I think Bill Belichick just said no thank you to that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go for a quarterback here. Jalen Waddle could also be an interesting pick here for them. That's who I almost had them going with, but I had to put Trey Lance somewhere and I ended up on the Patriots.
Hey guys, sorry we had to cut this into two parts and we're releasing it a little bit late. We had some technical difficulties while we were recording, but we are excited to get part two out later today. We'll try to record that before the draft as quick as possible to make it line up with our schedules and hopefully get that out to y'all. So thank you so much once again for listening. Stay tuned for part two.